Look at Matthew chapter 15, look at verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." We're talking about a teen trip to Golden Corral. We could just make an application here, but I think I'll just skip right on. Here's what happened. The Pharisees accused Jesus' disciples of transgressing the tradition of the elders. They came to Jesus, the Pharisees, these religious leaders, and most people in the time, whether they really looked up to them in their heart, they looked up to them as a position of these leaders, these teachers, and they came to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, your disciples, they're not washing their hands before they eat, and in doing that, they're breaking the law. They're breaking, they're transgressing the tradition of the elders. They're not doing right." And I thought I'd take a little bit of time and just explain that. See, the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. It had more, it wasn't just hygiene. You ever see that Far Side comic? I love Far Side comics. They used to be popular. I don't know if they are anymore. There'd be a calendar every day that you'd pull off. There'd be another cartoon. There was one where a guy was walking out of the bathroom, and there was a big sign over the bathroom with blinking lights that said, "Didn't wash hands." Wouldn't that be awful? All right, you wash out of the rest, walk out of the restroom, this is bing, 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 and everybody knows you didn't wash your hands. Well, it was more than just hygiene. It wasn't just they didn't wash their hands, they're dirty, and they're gonna get sick or something like that. The disciples, they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Traditionally, Jews are required to wash their hands and say a blessing before eating any meal that includes bread or matzah. The ritual known as, I'm going to try to say this, I'm not sure if I'm going to say it right. The ritual is known as netilat yadayim. It's typically done using a two-handled cup. So there's a cup with two handles. There are various customs regarding how the water should be poured, but a common practice is to pour twice on the right hand, followed by twice on the left hand. It's a ceremonial washing. After the washing, the following blessing would be recited. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us concerning the washing of the hands." So they would take the two-handled cup and they would wash one hand twice and wash the other hand twice. And then they would say this, rehearse or recite this prayer. And it wasn't related to personal hygiene. And a person is still required to perform this ritual even if his or her hands are clean. So it's not about washing your hands because your hands are dirty. It's a matter of performing a ritual that somebody said that you're supposed to perform. And the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Your disciples aren't washing their hands. They're transgressing the commands or the traditions of the elders." To transgress means to cross a line. If you play basketball, you can't go back across the court. We would call that, we used to call it over and back. I don't know. They're changing all these rules in sports and things. Back court, right? We call it that. And so you're not allowed to cross that line. If you're dribbling the I know it's football season. I'm using basketball illustration. If you're dribbling the basketball and you step we used to call it an out of bounce line. I thought that's what it was when I was a kid. It's out of bounce, right? The out of bounds line, you step over that, you're out. When you're playing football and you're going for the pass, you catch the football, if you catch the ball, you've got to have 2 feet inside of the line before you have to have a control of the ball 2 feet in the line before you cross it, or you're transgressing. You're crossing the line. The Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Your disciples, they're crossing the line. They're sinning. They're disobeying the commandments or the traditions of the disciples." They accused Jesus' disciples of crossing the line and sinning because they didn't obey their long-standing tradition. Now, if you transgress God's law, you cross the line over what God said not to do, that's sinning. If God says, "Don't do this," and I cross that line and do it, that's a sin. The Bible is very clear about that. But what happens whenever a person says, "Don't cross this line"? And it's a tradition. That's a hard word to say. I'm struggling here. That tradition, the Pharisees said, If you don't wash your hands the way you're supposed to wash your hands, the ceremonial washing of your hands, you're stepping over this line. And what they were saying was, to step over the line that we made is the same as stepping over the line that God made. We'll talk more about that when we're preaching about developing your own personal biblical standards. They were accusing the disciples of sinning against the traditions of the elders. See, the elders had been adding rules to the laws of God for quite some time. We mentioned some of them last week, but let me just give you some numbers. There were rules about the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, there were 365 negative rules about the Sabbath. When I say negative rule, it was just something you're not supposed to do. Don't do this, don't do that. 365 rules of things you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath day. That's a lot of rules. And in addition to that, there were, 248 positive rules about the Sabbath. You must do this, and you must do that. So if you put all the you can't do's with the you have to do's, there were 613 rules, these distinct laws about what to do and not to do on the Sabbath day. It's not that hard to figure out how the Pharisees ended up with so many man-made laws. They started out as a group of devout Jews dedicated to keeping God's laws. In the early days, they were called the Perushim before they were called Pharisees. And they used the laws of God to make rules for the Jewish people to follow. The problem with rules is that you have to constantly add new ones to address new problems and changes in culture and changes in technology. We'll talk more about that at another time, but let me just give you a quick example. As society changes and culture changes and technology changes, the list of rules can get longer and longer. I read about a mom. She was a mom of a toddler. You know, moms, if you've got toddlers, you can get frustrated at times because they're toddlers, right? It's like, can you speak real words? Your husband comes home. You're like, speak real words to me, please. You can get frustrated. You can get flustered. She was feeding her toddler. I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl. She was feeding her toddler, and this toddler had a just liked to eat, I guess, and just loved food. And so she would put the food on the plate, and the toddler would get the food and hold it to its chest and hug it. And just loved the food. But it was making a mess. Finally, the mom, out of frustration, just blurted out a new rule. No hugging your bread. New table rule. No hugging your bread. What happened? A new rule was developed. As times change, culture changes, more people get involved. I'll give you the example another time of the rule book at college when we started was a lot thinner than when we left. And I think it was probably because of my wife mostly, but no, it wasn't. But rules develop over time. Somebody does something so stupid, nobody would have thought to ever write a rule about it. You don't need a rule for some stuff because nobody's that dumb. Well, somebody does it and they make another rule. Right? So that's what happens. And over time, the Pharisees make more and more and more rules. Now there's 613 rules. And instead of teaching the people to live by principles, the religious leaders are making rules that the people were expected to follow. Then the religious leaders also became the enforcers of those rules. And they said, if you broke a rule, you're breaking God's law. And here's what they did. They elevated the rules that they made to the same level as God's laws. And what it led them to do was to worship God in vain and teach for doctrines the commandments of man. Look at chapter 15, verse 9. We're going to skip down to that. We'll come back to that later. It'll probably be this evening. But chapter 15, look at verse 9. This is Jesus talking. He's talking about the hypocrites, the actors, the Pharisees. And here's what he said. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's the setting. The disciples have been accused of breaking or sinning against God because they transgressed the tradition of the elders. And Jesus said, listen, these Pharisees, they worship me in vain, and they're teaching for doctrines. They're teaching it as if it was God's law, the commandments of men. Not only were they doing that, but they were transgressing the commandments of God. So here's what they're doing. They're saying, the Pharisees are saying, you guys, you're transgressing the tradition of the elders. And they accuse the disciples of that. Don't you hate being accused? I hate being accused of something. Somebody comes up to you and just says, you did this wrong. That's exactly what's happened. The Pharisees came to the disciples and you're doing this wrong. You're transgressing the tradition of the elders. But then Jesus comes in, he says, wait a minute. You're accusing the disciples of transgressing the tradition of the elders, but you Pharisees are transgressing the commandment of God. And you're doing that with your tradition. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 3. He's going to make this statement, that he's going to give an example. Matthew 15, 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Do you see what happens there? The Pharisees are saying, you guys are transgressing against the tradition of the elders. And Jesus says, Pharisees, you are transgressing against the commandments of God. Look at verse 4, Matthew 15, verse 4. For God commanded, saying, here's the command of God, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That was God's command. You go back into the Old Testament, and that was the command. God gave the law. You dishonor your parents. The Bible says you die. There was probably a whole lot less disrespectful teenagers then, right? Because if they didn't honor their parents, the command was for them to die. Death penalty for dishonoring your parents. Whoa! That's what God said. If you dishonor, not just disobey, but dishonor, honor them. How many of us wouldn't be alive today? All right? I've been disrespectful to my parents. I wish I hadn't been, but looking back, I have. God said, and this is the commandment, Jesus is quoting it to them. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, now he's looking at the Pharisees and said, I told you what God said, but here's what you say. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, if you study this out, you look at the other gospel, you see that this is called Korban. And the Pharisees had found a loophole. They found a way that a son or a daughter could sidestep God's command to honor their parents by dedicating their possessions to God. So part of honoring parents is to provide for our parents when they need that. Think about this, kids, or maybe even adults. I need to hear this as well. Our parents do so much for us. They protect us when we're babies. If they would have just left us there, we would have just died. They protect us. They provide for us. They feed us. They give us a place to live. They most of the time give us more than what we need and provide for our needs, and they provide for our wants, and they take us places, and they teach us, and they pour their lives into us, and then we become adults. Don't forget what your parents did for you. Don't forget the investment that they put into your life. And when you get an opportunity to do something back for your parents who've done so much for you, take the opportunity to do that. There will be a day when you no longer have that opportunity. Take that opportunity. Do what you can to honor your parents. Now, understand this. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? So if we are children, we're supposed to obey our parents. That is God's command. There comes a day when we're not children anymore. So we no longer have to obey our parents. But the Bible doesn't say, children, honor your parents. It's all of us ought to honor our parents. Let's do what we can to honor our parents, all right? So I'm an adult. My parents tell me something that I have to, and they give me a command. You have to do this. As an adult, now when I say adult, I'm not saying because you turned 18 or 19 and you're still living at home, mom's still doing your laundry, making your lunches. You're like, I'm 18 now. I don't have to do. No, listen, if you're providing for your own needs and you're taking care of yourself and your family, you're living on your own, at that point, you can say, okay, My kids heard this term for the first time this week. I've cut the apron strings. I'm no longer the child, but I'm still a son. I'm still a daughter. I still, Even when I get to the point where I'm old enough, I don't have to obey my parents, I still ought to honor my parents. And here's what was happening. The Pharisees found a way that they didn't have to take care of their parents, provide for their parents, or use their resources to help their parents when their parents had need. So what they did was, the Pharisees said, listen, if you have wealth or you have possessions, if you have money, you have things, you have food, you have whatever it is, resources, if you will dedicate that to God, then when your parents have a need, you can say to your parents, I would like to help you with your need, but I've already dedicated this to God, so I can't give it to you. The Bible says, God said, honor your father and your mother. And the Pharisees found a loophole. They said, if you give it to God, then it's God, so you can't give it to your parents. So you can find a way to dishonor your parents without actually breaking the law. Look at this verse again, what Jesus was saying, chapter 15, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, here's the loophole, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. And what have they done? Jesus continues and he says, here's what you did. When you found that loophole, when you found a way for not to honor your parents, he said, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. They found a way to do what they wanted to do and make it sound spiritual. Listen to that statement again. The Pharisees found a way to do what they wanted to do and make it sound spiritual. Don't we do that sometimes? We find we're gonna do whatever we want to do. We're going to make it happen. We're just got to figure out a way to justify it. I've just got to figure out a way to make it sound right. Here, let me give you some examples. I'm a Christian. I can dress however I want to. I can go to nightclubs if I want to go. And I can go to whatever movies I want to go to because the Bible says I need to be all things to all men. Loophole, right? I found a way around this. I don't have to live the Christian life, come out from among them and be separate. I don't have to do all that because the Bible also says that I'm supposed to be all things to all men. Wait, am I living a life trying to please God whenever I'm living by loopholes? Here's the way around it. Here's the way I can sidestep it. Here's what we're doing. We're doing what we want to do and making it sound spiritual. We talked about tithing this morning. I don't have to tithe. That was the Old Testament. The Bible says to sing a new song. So I can listen to whatever music I want to. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Every time, the Bible says that nine times, the phrase, new song. Nine times that it said, it's never mentioned about listening to a new song. It's not about entertainment. It's about you singing a new song from a new heart that has been regenerated because God changed you. Wow. But we'll look at that and say, the Bible says to sing a new song. So here's what we do. We find what we want to do, and then we find a way to make it sound spiritual. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were transgressing the commandment of God by their tradition. So first of all, they accused the disciples of transgressing against their traditions. Jesus now accuses the Pharisees of actually transgressing against the commandments of God. And then in verse number 7, Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites. Take a look at this. Hebrews chapter 15, look at verse number 7. Ye hypocrites. We'll stop there for just a minute. Don't you like how Jesus just says it? He just doesn't mince words. He just, let me tell you how it is. You're accusing the disciples of breaking these traditions, but really you're breaking the commands of God? Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, well, look at the rest of what he prophesied in just a minute. But Jesus calls them hypocrites. Listen, the world despises hypocrites. I think most of us, we would say, I don't like to be around hypocrites. Even when we're talking about ourselves, we would say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. We understand that. A hypocrite is an actor. When we say we're worshiping God, but our hearts are far from Him, we are actors. Let me read the rest of this and then read it with me. Verse number 7, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Our mouth is saying the right things. We're even acting right. We are good actors. Actually, we're really bad actors, because God's the one that sees that. In front of God, he can see right through it. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, actors. Have you ever watched a movie or a play with bad actors? All right. They think, I imagine, they think they're doing a really good job. All right. They think they're playing the part so well that nobody can tell the difference between their true personality and their pretend character. They think everybody thinks I'm superhero, whatever superhero it is. There's some actors that are really good actors, and you just think, wow, that person, that is really them. And as Hollywood has just done this incredible job of confusing our brains between what is real and what is not real. But every once in a while, you get one that's just a really bad actor. You've gone to a play. Gone to a church play. Our church play was awesome. I really believed everyone in our church play was really them. All right. She hates hot chocolate. That was excellent, Abby. Abigail. But you've seen that. They think, the actor thinks they've got everybody really believing that they're that person. But you're sitting in the audience and you think, they're not doing very good. They think they're such a good actor, but I can see right through it. I can see they're not really that person. They don't have their lines memorized, right? You ever tried to act, so you try to learn some gestures, right? I remember 10th grade, speech class, and the teacher teaching us, okay, you have to say the words, but then you also have to have the gestures, right? And you're supposed to use your arms and your face and make gestures. And I remember some of those first few speeches, and the gestures just didn't match with the words that were trying to, and just bad acting. Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he says, "You hypocrites, you're acting, you're drawing nigh to me with your mouth, you're saying the right words, but your heart is so far from me." God knows the truth. He sees right through the act, just like you. How about a magician? You ever seen a magician that's just really bad, right? Now, it's okay if they know they're bad. Like, I'm just learning. But when they think they're really, really good and they're just really, really not good, you're just like, this guy, I'm embarrassed for him, right? That's how God looks at us in our acting. We think we're doing such a great job. I'm acting the part of a Christian and I got everybody full. No, you don't. No, I don't. Because God sees that. He called the Pharisees out. You're a bunch of actors. You hypocrites. Too many Christians are just performing so that they look good in front of other Christians. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They were performing. They looked good in front of other people. They'd make their big, loud prayers. They would. I just picture them. The offering plate goes by, and they don't put it in the offering plate. They bounce it in the offering plate. You know, throw the change in really loud, or lift it up real high. Ching, 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 ching. The Bible doesn't say that they did that, but I can just picture. They're acting. They want everybody to see. I am super spiritual. Whenever I was a kid, I remember watching we called them films, right, in church. When I was a kid, we watched this film. It was called Super Christians. And when the offering plate came by, this row, I remember this distinctly. The guy grabs his dress shirt and he rips it, and there's a Superman emblem underneath it. He takes out his wallet and he drops a $100 bill in the offering, right? That's what it was about. It was about acting. And God sees us, and listen, too many of us are just performing. We're acting so that we look good in front of other Christians. The problem with performing is that when people stop watching, we stop acting. When there's no audience, there's no need to perform. The reason so many church teenagers quit on God when they graduate is because they were just performing while they were living with their parents. They were just performing when they were in the youth group. They were just performing when they were in the Christian school. They were just performing when they were in Bible college. And as soon as they get away from their audience, they take their mask off, they take their costume off, they throw it in the trash, and finally everyone sees who they really are. They don't know God, they just know about Him. They don't read the Bible, they just bring it to church. Now, teens, will you listen carefully to what I'm about to say? I want every teenager to look at me in the eyes, whatever it is you're looking at, that's not me, put it away. All right? I will call you out in the next 5 minutes if you are not looking at me, because this is so incredibly important. I want you to hear this. Please, please listen. Actors are often miserable people that are so good at acting that no one knows they're hurting. Teens, listen to me. You remember a man named Robin Williams? Robin Williams. I don't know anything about his private life, and he was a Hollywood actor, and I can't say be like him at all. But I will say this. He was an amazing actor. He was a funny actor. He brought Aladdin's genie to life, right? Phenomenal cosmic power, itty-bitty living space. You remember that? Robin Williams. But he was so miserable that he hung himself and died in his own house. Because actors are often miserable people that are so good at acting that no one knows they're hurting. Now, teens, listen. I want look at me and listen to this. You might be thinking right now, I can't live up to everyone else's expectations for me, so I'm just going to act the way they want me to until I can break free and I can be who I want to be. I can't live up to their expectations. I can't live up to the preacher's expectations. I can't live up to my parents' expectations. They want me to be something. I just can't live up to those expectations. So here's what we do. We act. We act like it. We act like I like going to church, and we act like I'll be a Christian. And listen, teens. Now, adults, everybody, but teens, I want you to get this. You don't have to keep acting. Listen to this. Regardless of who you are, where you come from, God loves you just the way you are. God wants to use your life in a powerful way. God wants you to make it big. God, listen to this. God wants you to spend your life doing the things that bring you joy. And you don't have to act like someone else for God to like you. Can you get this? You don't have to act like somebody else in the youth group for God to like you. You don't have to fit into some kind of a mold for God to like you. God likes you just the way you are. In fact, He loves you just the way you are. And God's plan for you is for you to be you. I want you to get this. Don't worry about living up to someone else's reputation. There's somebody else and they've got a reputation. And don't worry about living up to their reputation. God knows you. God knows your situation. God knows what He wants you to do with your life. Don't feel like you need to do what someone else is called to do. You don't have to act that act. You don't have to go through this, your teenage years and into adulthood acting like you're someone that you're not, acting like you're singing in the teen choir or liking it or acting like you're going to go to teen sewing. Listen, there's some things that I believe will help you to grow, and I will help you with that and guide you toward that. But understand this, you don't have to act like somebody else for me to like you. You don't have to act like somebody else for God to like you. God wants you to be you. Just because God called me to preach when I was 10 years old doesn't mean He's going to do the same thing in your life. And it doesn't mean you failed if you're 16 and you don't know what you're going to spend your life doing. You don't have to act. You don't have to be a preacher or a missionary for God to use you. If God doesn't call you to be a preacher, don't worry about being a preacher. Just do what God made you to do. I guarantee this. Teens, listen. I guarantee it will be something that you love. God wants you to do something, and He made you for that something. It will be something you want to do. Let me tell you a statement that I heard when I was a 17-year-old young person. Everyone in the will of God likes it. It's not always easy, but when you're where God wants you to be, you like it. There's joy that comes there. But here's what you got to understand. I don't have to act like somebody else. No. I don't have to act like a preacher boy. No. I don't have to act like a perfect teenager. No. Listen, this will help you. If you can just realize I don't have to put on an act. I could just be me. God loves me the way I am. He knows my hurts. He knows my failures. He knows my desires. And God loves me just the way I am. When you can take your mask off and say, okay, God, if you'll take me just like I am, I'll give you just who I am. I don't feel like I need to be somebody else. So God hasn't called me to preach. I don't feel like I really fit in. You don't need to. It's not about fitting into a mold. It's about God has a plan for me and God has a plan for you. And that plan is different for each of us. Don't feel like you have to put on an act. Because here's what's going to happen. you turn 12 years old, 13 years old, and you get into the junior high class, you get a little older, you get into the high school class. There's some pressure, and I think I'd rather have positive peer pressure than negative peer pressure. I mean, wouldn't you rather there to be preaching about surrendering to God's call? Wouldn't you rather that be the pressure than, hey, let's go do drugs out in the back? I mean, wouldn't you rather that be the pressure? I understand there is pressure, but listen, what God calls you to do, just say, yes, I'll do that. If God doesn't call me to be the preacher or missionary, I would just love nothing more than to stay here and serve God for the rest of my life. I'll work on a job, and I'll be a faithful husband or a faithful wife, and I'll reach kids with maybe in the Sunday school class or on a bus route. I just want to serve God as me. You don't have to act. Just be you. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he says, you're a bunch of actors. You're a bunch of hypocrites. And I understand that because I spent a lot of time acting. I spent a lot of time looking right, looking the part. Eventually, God did a work in my heart so that I really wanted to be whatever God wanted me to be. But for a while, I remember just acting. And here's the thing with acting. When nobody's watching anymore, we don't act anymore. I was 16 and my parents helped me to get a vehicle. It was a 1974 Ford Bronco. It was yellow with a white top on it. You couldn't talk to somebody next to you whenever you're driving down the road because it was so loud inside, because it just rattled like crazy. It was so loud. It was uncomfortable, but it was a powerful, cool vehicle. I got that and it had a radio in it. When I was around my parents and I was around my Christian school, I would listen to the right music. When I got by myself, I would turn the other music on. But when did I do that? It was when I was by myself. It was whenever there was nobody watching. Except one time I was driving home from, I was in college, I was driving home, I was coming down the big hill to come down to my house from the highway, and I was getting ready to turn the corner, and Pastor Gordon Rogers, he was the assistant pastor at our church, he went this way and I went this way, and we met eyes, and I know he saw me. I was doing things I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing. I was living a way I knew I shouldn't be living. I was acting. As long as nobody saw me when they weren't there, as long as I could take off my mask in private, I was good. But he saw me who I really was. And here's what happened. He still loved me. And he still cared about me. And it was just a great picture of what God wanted to do in my life. Teens, and I know I'm talking to teens specifically, just on my heart right now, but this is for everybody. You don't have to act like someone else. You don't have to fit in somebody else's mold. You just be you. God has a big plan for you. He's got a great plan for you. If you keep acting, eventually you're going to get tired of it. Eventually, nobody's going to be watching. Eventually, you're going to graduate and get out of high school and get out of college, whatever it is. And you're just going to go back to the one that you've been really wanting to be anyway. I want you to do this. Just stop acting now. You don't have to act like you're someone you're not. Just be you. And in that heart, just say, God, this is me, and I just want to live for you. I can't be what somebody else is because that's not me. I'm just me. I just, as me, I want to live for you. I just don't want to have to act anymore. Jesus came to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees came to Jesus, and they rebuked his disciples for transgressing man's commandments. And Jesus looked at them, and he said, listen, you're breaking God's commandments, and you're a bunch of actors. Can we all just take the mask off? Let's just stop acting. Now, I'm not saying take the mask off and all of us live like the devil. God doesn't want that. But stop acting like you're somebody you're not. I don't need to be somebody I'm not. I need to do what God called me to do. I need to be a husband and a dad. God called me to be a pastor. But that's not what he called you to do. Your calling is different than my calling. I just want to genuinely live my life to please God. And I just hope that you could say, God, I just want to live my life to please you. I may not be somebody else. I may not look like somebody else. I may not act like somebody else. I may have different hobbies than somebody else. But God, I just want to please you. Father, I pray that you would give us a soft heart this morning. I pray that each one of us would just realize I just want to be real. I just want to be real with God. I just want to be real with my parents. I just want to be real with people around me. And God, I want to please you with my life, but it's got to be me. It's got to be my life. It's got to be who I am. So God, I'm going to take off the mask. I'm going to stop pretending I'm somebody I'm not, and I just want to live for you. I just want to please you.